Welcome back to Anxiety Slayer. Today we're exploring supportive strategies for overcoming disassociation. But before we begin, we'd like to thank all of our patrons for supporting our work together. You can learn more about becoming a patron at patreon.com/anxietyslayer. Thank you for your support. We appreciate it. Welcome back, Ananga.
Hey, Shen.
This is our last episode before we both take a little break and go off and do some personal things. And we will be back for the last Friday in May with some new content for you. Don't worry, we will be back, but we wanted to make sure that you were aware that we are going to be away for a bit. Living with anxiety can be challenging, especially when it manifests in forms like disassociation and derealization. If you've ever had this experience, you know how disconnected it can make you feel, and just being in the world sometimes feels like too much because of all of the amplification of feelings, of the fear and helplessness and all that comes with disassociation. Thankfully, there are strategies that you can employ to regain a sense of control and reconnect with reality. And today we're going to explore several key points to help you overcome disassociation that's associated with anxiety.
It's such a strange experience, isn't it? Disassociation is that awful feeling of disconnection that often occurs with anxiety, that feeling of not being in touch with your surroundings or with the people around you. I think it's important to share as we begin our conversation that that's what we're talking about, this feeling of disconnection from ourselves, from our environment. I've experienced this several times when anxiety has been running high. I've experienced it after illness on a couple of occasions. And if I've been out in the world and I've been overtired and it's cold and windy, that can bring it up for me. And then I can be walking along and I hear a little voice in my head say, I don't feel like I'm here. I just don't feel like I'm properly here. And then I know I need to do some grounding and some self-care.
Listening to you, it just makes me think of, oh, time to get back in my body.
Mm-hmm.
Time to get back in my body. And I remember a few years ago being out shopping and it was springtime. The weather had just changed from winter to spring. And I was in this big store and I thought maybe I was having the beginning of a panic attack, but I realize now, as looking back at it, it was more of a disassociation, more of an experience of not being grounded and just kind of floating in this space that felt so uncomfortable. I couldn't get out of there fast enough. And thankfully, on that day, you were available. Even though you're in England and I'm here in Michigan, we were able to communicate somehow from my cell phone. I don't know if it was WhatsApp or whatever, it doesn't matter. And you helped me get back into my body and move through it very quickly. So thank you again for that. That feeling is just so awful. And in that particular moment, you were my tether. You were my rock. Like, okay, you got this.
You mentioned initially thinking you were having an anxiety attack. And I think the two can go together because it's such an awful feeling. If our mind's already anxious, we can think, you know, what's wrong with me now? You know, what's happening now? And it can really escalate anxiety. So I think it's an important thing to talk about how this happens. And I'm sure many people listening will have experienced it. I've certainly experienced it on numerous occasions. It doesn't worry me anymore because I know what to do about it.
Mm-hmm.
Still doesn't feel great, but I know what to do about it. So I'm hoping that what we're going to share here is going to be really reassuring. And everything that we share is good also for general anxiety. And it won't be new to our longtime listeners, a lot of what we have to say here, but it's very useful in the context of disassociation and that awful feeling of disconnect.
And it really begins with grounding yourself and learning some helpful grounding techniques. Grounding is invaluable for managing disassociation. And the techniques that that we have in mind involve bringing your awareness back to the present moment, bringing yourself back to your immediate surroundings through simple exercises like deep breathing, focusing on sensory experiences like touch or smell, or even naming objects in your environment that can help anchor you in reality when you're feeling disconnected. And going back to that example that I shared from years ago, I was sitting in my car in the parking lot and you were inviting me to look at the cars. What color are the cars? What's the weather like? What's happening in the sky? You just really helped me get back into it. I also had my care kit and I was sniffing on some lavender and I had some rescue remedy and we did all the things, right?
Mm.
And all of that was helping me ground. All of that was helping me get back into the present moment and into my body.
Yeah.
And oh, I just remember feeling so relieved.
Ayurveda teaches that we have these feelings of disconnection when the air and ether elements are elevated. We talk a lot on the podcast about the five elements: earth, water, fire, air, ether. When the air and the ether go up, that means the vata mind-body type is increased, and that in turn increases anxiety, but it also increases feelings of feeling spaced out, ungrounded, disconnected, bloaty, and we really need to be able to hold on and tether. We can do it literally if we're with somebody. Depending on the relationship, you know, we can ask to hold their hand or link arms if it's not somebody so familiar. Link arms and lean in, sync your steps with theirs, hear your feet on the ground. If it's someone you know well, ask for a hug. Ask if you can just sit and lean together somewhere quiet for a few minutes and take some deep breaths. We really need to anchor. And something we can do at home that's super easy and helpful is to find ways to keep warm and still in a soft, quiet environment. We often talk about Ayurveda being applied as a law of gentle opposites. So if you think of air and ether, there's nothing substantial to them. There's nothing dense or heavy. So we need to apply those gentle opposites. They also tend to be cold, cold and light in nature. So if you think of making a nest with blankets and cushions, somewhere soft and warm, adding some extra weight is helpful too. Somewhere where you can curl up and feel warm and safe is a good home remedy for those feelings.
If you find it challenging to be still, as vata-provoked anxiety sufferers often do, try playing some calming music or using some grounding essential oils. That's going to help a great deal. Also, using your sense of touch to help you connect with where you are, noticing the weight of the blanket, how warm you feel, noticing that you are in a safe space, and doing the best you can in that moment. Just keep being sweet with yourself.
Yeah, and touch really helps, you know, feel the texture of the blanket. I have a wheat pack that I really like, and you can warm it up and then put it on your body if you feel cold. It's really heavy, and I like to put that on my chest or my legs if I'm cold or if I feel a little bit ungrounded. But I also like to scrunch it up. It's got like this beanie feeling to it.
Mm.
Simple things like that. It sounds daft, but it's just anything sensory. Feel the heaviness of a cushion or a blanket, or give it a hug. Give yourself a hug. If you cross your arms over your shoulders, you've got your hands on opposite shoulders, and just stroke down your arms from your shoulders to your elbows. That's a very calming, energetic move. Feels very self-soothing. So that can help as well.
As you were saying that, it made me think my son really loves squishmallows, and they're these super soft, cuddly, often giant, what we would call stuffed animals, but they're so squishy and comfy, and they have these silly little faces, and they're all the rage for younger people and older alike. I took one with me to a massage appointment, and the massage therapist laughed and said, "Oh, you have a squishmallow? I have one of those on my bed." And we had a good laugh. But Those are really sweet to add to your comfy environment as well. Squishmallows.
Never heard of them. So I just looked it up as you were talking and I can see they're available here in the UK.
Yeah. All their sweet little faces, all their little...
They look great.
They're like a little partner in your grounding.
That's what you want. Warm, soft.
Yeah.
It's very hard to settle when Vata energy is elevated, but anything that helps you do it, these look good. I'm going to look into them.
Yeah, they're really fun. Restorative yoga is also incredibly helpful for grounding and feeling more calm in your environment. I miss teaching yoga classes, and one of the parts that I loved the most was Shavasana. And this is just where you're resting on your back with your arms and your palms facing up, and you're letting yourself be fully supported by the ground beneath you, by the earth beneath you. You're letting go of all tension, and you're just making yourself as calm and relaxed as you can in that really safe space, supporting yourself with each inhalation and exhalation. I remember the first time I practiced Shavasana as a student, and I thought, what are we doing? We're just laying here. Like,
yeah.
And then a few rounds of breath, I'm like, oh, this is what we're doing. We're allowing ourselves to just really sink in and relax. And if that feels like, oh my goodness, there's no way I could do that, you could also do, I think it's Balasana is how you say child's pose. Basically, it takes no more than just getting on the floor gently, getting on your knees, and then leaning forward on the palms of your hands and moving forward, kind of inching out, stretching out so that you're in this folded up pose, if you will, this child's pose where you're just really letting your entire body relax. And if you can't sit on the back of your heels when you're kneeling, you just can put a bolster or a cushion behind you to make it even more comfortable. And then your head, your forehead and your hands are on the floor. We have in our Patreon a guided practice for child's pose, and I believe for Shavasana as well, that you can check out.
Yeah, and several grounding practices too. I remember somebody telling me, and I can't remember who, quite a while ago, that child's pose is so helpful when we have that feeling that, you know, when you're really stressed or you feel shocked and you go to put your hands up over your head, you kind of put your head down and put your hands up and you've got that startle response. And he said that that's the body naturally saying you need to do child's pose. You need to go to the floor, put your head down, feel safe, feel grounded, curl up. And then we don't have such a heightened startle response because we're doing the needful before it escalates to that point.
And then there's mindfulness and meditation. It seems like mindfulness is, it's a part of every single one of our episodes for a reason, to be in the present moment as much as you possibly can.
Yeah, because we're so disconnected, we're so not in touch with nature. And when anxiety is running high, we can be out of touch with our basic needs. We can not notice it's time to drink. We can get dehydrated because we're not drinking regularly. We can find ourselves bumping ourselves going through doorways because we're not lined up in the gap. That's how my body shows me I need to take care.
Literally bouncing off the walls, Ananga.
Literally. So any exercises that encourage mindful movement with full awareness of your breath and body are helpful because they draw you to the present moment. It invites us to be mindful and to be in touch and to be more grounded. Working with self-awareness is the perfect antidote for overcoming the feelings of mounting stress and anxiety that can lead to those feelings of disassociation, lead to feeling spaced out and out of touch. And it's very simple, the things we can do to help, like when walking, practice bringing your awareness to your breath, to your feet, connecting with the ground, paying full attention to that connection with the earth, paying attention to your environment. It happens all the time that we can be in a beautiful place, but we're not. We're not there. Our body's there, but our mind is somewhere else. It's just drawing ourselves to our environment.
And that makes me think of the Vata mind again, and how Vata always benefits from stillness, and how a balanced Vata is naturally inclined to meditate, to be in that beautiful spaciousness. But when Vata is disturbed or unbalanced, it's very, very hard to sit still. The unbalanced Vata mind pushes the body to move and speak, and this adds to feelings of disconnection from your surroundings.
So this is where guided meditation can help, because the Vata mind responds well to being soothed into practice. You know, sometimes you need a mind whisperer, someone who understands the Vata mind and can help it calm down, talk it down into a more settled place. And that's why we offer audio support for breathing exercises and other meditative practices. Sometimes we need that extra help.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry things that stress us out, and when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. During the pandemic, I found that working with a therapist was helpful for learning positive coping skills and for creating personal goals for self-care. And it isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/slayer today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/slayer. Before the break, we were talking about mindfulness and meditation, and now we're going to dig into some self-care practices to help with disassociation.
Self-care plays a crucial role in managing anxiety and its different symptoms, and having a routine that prioritizes our sleep, good quality nutrition, regular moving, and relaxation techniques can help us feel better overall. It can help bring up our resilience, our sense of self-care. And I think these things also contribute to just feeling grounded and settled in ourselves. And they certainly can all help us feel more present and ease feelings of disassociation. Anything we can really draw our mind into, activities that bring a sense of joy, satisfaction, fulfillment, can also serve as powerful antidotes, just help us feel immersed in what we're doing. There's different kinds of loss of awareness. One is a flow state, which there's a whole book describing a flow state where we can be happily immersed in what we're doing, and time passes and we're not so aware of our circumstances. We're just locked into maybe creative writing or painting or baking or whatever we're doing. Those are the healthy ways to lose ourselves, but we're not lost, we're engaged. And then there's the feelings of disassociation where we just feel like I'm not properly here and I'm not properly connected. So looking for activities that bring a sense of immersion, really helpful.
And when you talk about immersion, that immediately leads me to thinking of journaling and how you can just immerse yourself with your pen and paper, if that's how you like to journal. That's how I like to journal, but of course you can do that on your computer as well. And just allow yourself to be more connected with your life by noting miracles and gratitudes and tracking the lovely ways that you do look after yourself. Journaling gives a thread of awareness that really can help you feel more present in your life. And then, and I know you do this, Ananga, you can look back at different times in your life and see, how did I support myself at this time? Or, oh, I was so thoughtful and kind to myself today. I made sure that I had enough to drink and that I moved my body and got some fresh air and sunshine. Or, oh, there's this beautiful poem or this beautiful meme. Before the episode today, you and I were talking about a graphic, a meme that we had found that we really, really liked and made us think about the importance of being present with how well you're doing in this moment versus always looking for something to make things even better, to be mindful and sweet and happy with how things are right now, no matter what, no matter how messy, ugly, painful, whatever, that you are in this moment and you're doing the very best you can. And getting this all out in a journaling practice is so sweet and so immersive.
Really helpful. I remember when I first started having to adjust to living with chronic illness many years ago, it's about 20 years ago now, I had a little post-it on my office wall, which I've heard attributed to various different people. I'm not sure who it originally came from, but it's to do what you can, where you are, with what you have. And I think that's a great motto for mindfulness and mindful engagement. And you know, when we first started this podcast, sometimes I was meeting you and I was in my pajamas and I'd had to take painkillers and I was just propped up for an hour or so to record the episode. With you, that was all I could do. I wouldn't be leaving the house that day. But that's what I wanted to do, was reach out and help connect with you, reach out and help people that were suffering with anxiety. And that was it. That was what I could do where I was with what I had. And I was fortunate enough to have a microphone and a computer and the internet and the facility and the connection with you. But that's been a really powerful teaching for me over the years, that we can often do so much more than we realize.
And I would like to note, Ananga, that when we first came together almost 15 years ago, you told me that you weren't sure how long we'd be able to partner together, but that you were willing to give it a shot and to do what we were doing as long as possible.
Yeah.
So I would say almost 15 years later, bravo, because I know it hasn't always been easy to show up. And I appreciate that you continue to do so. And that we have this opportunity to share and to be with each other in the way that we are. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. We're so fortunate the way we can connect these days. I think that really helps break that disconnect, that even if we are unwell and we're at home, we can still have wonderful conversations and reach out to each other.
Mm.
There's a couple of book recommendations we have for journaling. Writing to Heal, A Guided Journal for Recovering from Trauma and Emotional Upheaval by James W. Pennebaker. It's a real classic, very famous book. And another one which has been around for years, The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. And they're talking about doing what you can, where you are with what you have. I recently learned that book was initially self-published. She got turned down flat and published it herself. And it later got picked up and doing the rounds again. I first discovered that book when my daughter was a baby, so late 1990s, but I think it was first published in the 80s. And she brings these beautiful practices, which so many have heard of now, morning pages and the artist date.
Yes, I love the artist dates.
Yeah, really such helpful practices. And I think that's why the book's endured. It's been interesting for me to see it go another generation. I shared that I bought it when my daughter was a baby. She was in a buggy. I remember being in the bookstore with a friend and I was drawn to the cover and I sat and read and took it home with me. Now she's 26 and she has a copy herself and got little tags sticking out of it.
Yeah, I had the pleasure of teaching The Artist's Way, both in person and online, many years ago, probably over a decade ago now. And just being with a group of people doing it live in person and as well as online, it was so awesome to listen to what would come up for each person and their pages to the degree they wanted to share. And then the artist dates, so fun to pick places that you've never been to and pay a visit to do things that are completely upside down from what you would normally do. Safely, of course, and then share about it. So yeah, I think The Artist's Way is a book that should be on everybody's bookshelf.
And it brings that curiosity as well. It brings mindfulness and it brings like a tethering, but also curiosity, which is a fantastic antidote to anxiety and disassociation, because it's another way of helping us notice what's around us. And yeah, so two recommendations for reading. Mindful reading.
Yes, mindful reading.
Be as involved as you can. It's, you know, how many times have you heard yourself say, oh, I've read this sentence 5 times and I don't know a word I've read. Can't remember a word I've read.
Yeah, that's usually when I put the book down. Well, before we close today, I'd like to walk you through a grounding practice for anxiety and disassociation. And for our patrons, we will have this as a standalone for you in the future. And if you can do it right now, great. And if you can't, just remember kind of where you are in the episode and come back to it. Find a spot where you feel comfortable standing for a few minutes with bare feet and just let yourself settle in. Now take a deep breath in. Drop and relax your shoulders. Shake your hands and arms. And make sure your hands feel loose with some space in between your fingers. Soften your eyes. Release your jaw. Now bend your knees slightly and imagine pushing your feet down into the ground. Feel how your feet connect with the surface that is supporting you. Pay careful attention to where your feet touch the ground. Maybe rock on your feet a little bit, making sure that your big toe touches and then your baby toe and your heels. Really feel what it's like to have that touch. Bring your arms up to shoulder height in front of you, as if you're holding a big balloon to your chest. Keep breathing. Imagine that you are rooted to the earth like a tree. Feel the way your feet adjust to help you balance and stand firmly on the ground. Feel the support and the strength in your legs, fully rooted. Stay like this for a few minutes now, taking slow and steady deep breaths. And as you stand strong and breathe, tell yourself, I am right here and I'm okay. I can feel myself right here, right now, with my feet on the ground, and I'm okay. I am what I am, and that is enough. The more you practice this technique, the better you're going to feel. And you're going to soon learn that it's just that easy to stay calm and connected and centered. It doesn't take a lot of time. It just takes getting it done. And I hope that you enjoyed that grounding practice and that you'll come back and listen to it again and again.
Yeah, it's nice to make it familiar. As you were just rounding off that practice, which I was sitting here following along with, thank you, very calming. It just came to mind a few years ago, I was driving my sister-in-law to Wales, which is in the UK, about a 4 or 5 hour drive from where I lived at the time. And about halfway along that journey, we stopped at a stop off at a service station to get a drink and take a break. And I realized I felt very ungrounded and very scattered from being on the motorway. We were driving through heavy rain. We started our journey in the dark. And by the time we stopped for a break, I was feeling really spacey and I had a good couple of hours driving ahead. So I took myself off in a corner of this rest stop and did a practice very similar to this. And it helped so much. And then I went and got a hot drink and took some breaths and settled, and off we went again. So it's really helpful to have these techniques where you can just take yourself off for a couple of minutes. Traveling, driving, flying, they can all increase these feelings of feeling disconnected and spacey. And yeah, it's great to come back and listen to this a few times until you're very familiar with it. And then you can take yourself off for a minute or two, anywhere, anytime. Lovely thing to do on a walk in the woods, by the trees, as a self-care practice.
Thank you, Ananga. I really enjoyed our time together today. And thank you to all of our listeners for listening in. If you love our podcast, please consider exploring our Patreon for loads of Anxiety Slayer extras for calming anxiety, including exclusive posts, guided meditations, tapping sessions, popular episodes from our archives, and so much more. Learn more at patreon.com/anxietyslayer.